Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Good evening to you. It's something special about a Sunday night worship. I want to thank you for being here. People who come on Sunday night are kind of special. I don't mean that people who come on Sunday mornings aren't, but it seems to me that by virtue of the fact that our crowds are typically smaller, it indicates that those of you who are here on Sunday night have made a special effort. And I'm so glad that you've come. Temperature has dropped outside. You didn't let that stop you. And some of you are getting closer to old age. I guess all of us are. May I encourage you to put off the decision to stop coming to evening worship as long as you possibly can. Don't let that be something you do soon or quickly or lightly. Let that be a serious decision that you don't make until you just have to make it. I have to believe that following that plan is pleasing to God, and I'm so glad that you've come tonight to be part of this assembly. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and now tonight's lesson. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there are a couple of rather profound implications in this statement. One, of course, is that the will of God is done in heaven. Otherwise, this doesn't make any sense. Obviously, Jesus is saying, I pray that your will be done on earth, but it hinges on the fact that God's will is done in heaven. The second implication that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes is that God's will is not always done. Let's talk about the first one. God's will is done in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, or when I pondered that, something that jumped into my mind is 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, where Peter writes and says that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell to be reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment. There was a time, sometime in history, when angels had the choice to do right or do wrong, and some of them chose to sin. And you know what, though? God took care of that. Apparently, God quickly handled that and made sure that they were removed from heaven, because heaven is a place, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in 3, that is not defiled. I want to put a picture in your brain tonight of heaven. When you think about the inhabitants of heaven, what kind of crowd do you picture? You picture 20 people or 50 or 100 or 1,000? When you think about the inhabitants of heaven and what it's going to be like to be there with reference to the crowd, what comes to your mind? You know, I heard a man say one time that he just thought that very few people would really be saved in the end. He said, I don't know if it'll be as much as was saved during the time of the flood. Well, that's a rather small number. Noah and his family, that's 8 souls saved by water. I think he's got it way wrong. Here's what I want you to picture. It's Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And the Bible describes the throne of God and those singing praise to God. And listen to this number. He says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I don't know how you calculate that, but I can tell you this. The Bible says there that the inhabitants of heaven are in the millions. They're millions of inhabitants. And what are they doing there? They're praising and worshiping God. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and about verse 7, well, there was an angel talking to John, the revelator, and the angel referenced himself as a fellow servant with the human beings that were serving God. that they were fellow servants with us. Now, we're created a little lower than the angels. I don't know all that's involved in that, but that we are fellow servants with them. That's how they view us. And the implication is that those of us who are in Christ and part of the church, that's what we do. We serve the Lord with our lives. We've given Him our lives. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's what the angels are depicted as doing. That's what they're about. Now, let your mind comb over the Scriptures. Just let your mind for a moment float over the Scriptures that you can think of having to do with angels and what they're about. What comes to your mind? Let me touch a few of them with you. So Genesis chapter 18. Watch as the angels do the bidding of God. That's what they do. The angels in heaven do the bidding of God. The word angel means messenger or servant. And they're created beings, created by God. I don't know a lot about them, but I know that heaven is inhabited with those servants of the Most High God. That's what's in heaven. And so Genesis chapter 18, it was the angels who came to inform Abraham that he was going to have an heir, a child, in his old age. You turn the page to Genesis chapter 19 and you read about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that those angels came and delivered just Lot out of the destruction that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. In Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says that Daniel was praying and Gabriel, an angel, came swiftly to Daniel's side to converse with him. They're eager to do God's will. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says that the law of God was ordained by angels at the hand of a mediator. And then Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, at the birth of the Messiah, at the birth of Jesus, the Bible says that there was an angel that came to announce this, and then suddenly, there was the host of heaven shouting, "Glory to God," and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The depiction there is of the host of heaven, the inhabitants of heaven, excited. They're thrilled about what's happening, that the Messiah has now come to earth to redeem sinful man from his sins. But the angels are thrilled. They're excited about it. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, on through the chapter, Jesus had been tempted of the devil. Prior to that, he had experienced hunger, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Then that awful trial the devil put him through, the temptation of the devil. And the Bible says that when that was finished, the angels came and ministered to him. I've always thought it was interesting that they waited until the temptation was finished. I'm so glad that they did. Not because I'm glad about his suffering. I'm not glad about that. But I'm glad about this, that it forevermore represents something that helps me. Because Jesus is my example for overcoming temptations in my life. Had the angels come and minister to him prior to the temptation or during the temptation and helped him through that, I would say, isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus faced temptation and had the angels to help him? But I couldn't say, this is what they do with me. They waited until the temptation was over and then they came and helped my Savior. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible says that the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. You know what that suggests is that the angels are witnesses of what's going on in this world, and they are observant of people who repent of their sins. When somebody turns from doing wrong to start doing right, the angels are happy about that. And you know why? Because heaven is a place where the inhabitants are eager to do the will of God. They're eager to do the will of God. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, Jesus was talking about the children. And he's, aren't you thankful for our children in the West Huntsville family? I'm thankful for every one of them. And don't we treasure every one of them, all of the children? And Jesus did that. That's how Christians are. And Jesus said, don't despise one of these little ones. Don't you know that they're angels? I don't know all that's involved in this, but don't you know they're angels in heaven do behold the face of the Father which is in heaven? Then one more. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, I keep repeating myself, I don't know all about this, but I can tell you that I rejoice in it. The Bible references the angels and says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who shall be the heirs of salvation? I take that to mean that the angels carry out God's providential will in our lives. Don't you thank God for His providence? Of course you do. Of course you do. We might not use that word, but we do. We thank Him at the end of the day for the protection He's given us through that day. Well, how did He bring that about? I suspect it's with these ministering spirits, the angels, who are so excited about doing the will of God, who are so enthused about doing what He wants, doing His bidding. So Jesus could pray this prayer based on not supposition, but based on what He knew. I mean, He had been in heaven for all eternity. And so it was natural for Him to pray like this. His objective was to say, I want Your will. I pray Your will be done in earth. But He used it. He hinged it upon this. As it is in heaven. All right, so let's go to the second thing. It is not the case that God's will is always carried out. Now that seems very strange to your ears, doesn't it? Because He's God. And you say, well, if it's His will, of course it's going to happen. Who can stop God? And yet, what we have to appreciate is that God's will can be divided into two categories. Ready? The absolute will of God and the intentional will of God. That distinction is very significant. And let me tell you right now, nobody ever, ever will stop the absolute will of God. I mean, you and I don't have it in our powers. Hell itself doesn't have it in its power to do. There is no power in heaven or on earth that will stop God from His absolute will. And so Hebrews 9 and 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. I didn't make that appointment. So what if I deny the existence of God? I deny any part. I don't want any part of this. You reckon I won't be in judgment? I'm going to be there. That's an appointment, not which I made, but which God made for me. Nobody's going to thwart that. When God pulls the trigger and this world is destroyed, lock, stock, and barrel, He's going to have the judgment day. And He's going to destroy. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Listen to this wording. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the works and the works therein shall be burned up. You know what? God's going to do what God wants to do. There were times in history when this was interestingly brought out. For example, and I referenced this passage this morning, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church. Now watch, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I could preach a whole sermon about the significance. I love that discussion of that sentence, but just take this. Hell says, I can stop you. And Jesus says, no, this is the absolute will of God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no power in hell that can thwart the absolute will of God. And sometimes what God will do in His infinite power, He will take the will of man that's against Him and use it to His advantage. He'll use it to bring about His own purposes. And a great example of that is Acts chapter 2 and 23. Remember when Peter is on Pentecost. Here's Peter and the others preaching. And in verse 23, I mean, he's talking to the people who have participated in the execution of Jesus. They participated in the cross. And here's what Peter says. Now, you, now listen to this. Who was behind the cross? Who took Jesus to the cross? The Romans, at least the Romans did. Pilate. Or we say the Jews did. They're the ones who hated Him. And they're the ones who facilitated all of this. But watch this. He says, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. In other words, they carried out the crucifixion, but they didn't do that. They did that in accordance with the will of God. Now, God didn't make them do that. In fact, the whole passage there is about you've got to repent of this or you'll be be lost eternally. That they were responsible for their own actions, and yet God used those sinful actions to bring about His purpose. Not only can you not thwart God's absolute will, but God can utilize it to His own purposes. We do not have the ability ever to thwart the absolute will of God. And the sooner that we really get a hold of that, the stronger our faith will become. But there's another kind of will taught in the Bible, another kind of God's will taught in the Bible. And this is the intentional, that's what I call it, the intentional will of God. And by that I mean that God intends for us to live in accordance with His will, but does not coerce or force us. The best verse for this is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And I recite it often because it's just so full of meaning and practical truth. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. In other words, the fact that He hasn't returned doesn't indicate that He can't do it, or that He's forgotten, or He procrastinates, or any of that. The Lord's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. Now underscore in your mind that word willing, because it's the intentional will of God. He's not willing that any should perish. I want to ask you a question. Is it God's will that everybody go to heaven? That passage says it is. He's not willing that anybody would go to hell, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Revelation chapter 22, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will, or that's Revelation 3 and verse 19, if any man will hear my voice, open the door, I will come in unto him. Talking about the door of your heart. I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. Emphasis is on, of course, that I've got to choose that. Now, there's one more thing I want to bring up before I close this short sermon. There's another sense in which we pray, thy will be done. The sense I've been describing is that I'm praying for the whole world. I'm praying that whatever is in with God's divine power within the realm of His plan to help orchestrate and bring about circumstances where people are more apt to obey Him. I'm praying for that to happen. Thy will be done. It's my heart's desire that more and more people will become Christians and live for Jesus. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there's a very personal facet to this too. And that is that in my private prayers, the prayer that I pray about me, am I willing to pray thy will be done? You think about Job. Because I think it's very easy for us to pray to him, thy will be done, when things are going very well for us, prospering, generally happy, healthy, life's going pretty good. Thy will be done in all things. But can I pray that prayer when I'm suffering? Can I pray that prayer when I'm in the pain of sickness? Can I, you think about Job. Here's Job, and he's lost all of his material possession, left bereft of his children. His family is gone. And yet, listen to the words of his lips. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, I don't suppose until I'm ready, under circumstances like that, to say that. I don't suppose I'm really ready to pray this. Thy will be done in my life. Or my Savior. Think about your Savior. Just before the cross. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And you can already feel the agony he's going through because he's seen crucifixion. He knows what that's like. And the sweat drops of blood. And he falls on his face and he prays to the Father. If it be possible, I mean within the confines of the dictates of your heart, Father, if it be possible in your divine will, let this cup pass from me. But now watch the next sentence. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In other words, it's just the same thing. Thy will be done. Can I pray that under any circumstances? And see, that's what I've got to do. I've got to climb in my faith to the point where I'm ready to pray that kind of prayer, no matter what life may hit me with. Despite how people may treat me, despite how difficult life may become. despite the fact that I'm looking at the end of my life, I must always be willing to pray, Thy will be done. I'd be ashamed not to. I'd be ashamed not to. Let's wrap it up this way. It is God's absolute and ultimate will that people who through their learning of the Holy Spirit through the Word, that they would purify their hearts by obeying the gospel, by repentance and confession and baptism into Christ. And that those people will have purified their hearts that way. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, you purified your hearts through obeying the truth, through the spirit of the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. That's what it says. And the flip side of that is also just as true. It is the ultimate will of God that people who choose not to obey the gospel will be damned, will suffer eternal pain in a devil's hell. That's the ultimate will of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us. You want to talk about encouraging people to become Christians? That's what this is about. To you who are troubled, troubled in sin, troubled with this life, troubled with this world. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, here's the judgment day, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's absolute will. You're not going to change that. That's it. It's His absolute will that Christians must live their lives faithfully to Him and that He won't forget them. We walk in His light. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, that we're faithful unto death and ultimately He'll give us a crown of life. My Savior prayed, or rather taught His disciples to pray in the model prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a remarkable thing to pray. Is there someone here tonight who wants to obey the gospel? Now would be a great time to submit to the ultimate will of God. And in so doing, also be submitting to His intentional will for your life. You didn't have anything to do with the decision about the parents to whom you'd be born. You didn't have anything to do with the decision about the time frame in which you would be born. Not a thing to do with it. You didn't have anything to do with the decision about into what country you'd be born or what economic level. But you've got this decision. What would you do with all of these things? What God made all of those decisions. Esther 4 and 14. What do you know but what you came into the kingdom for such a time as this? And God has a purpose for your life. And it includes living in faithfulness to Him. Is there somebody who would want tonight to become a Christian? Now would be a wonderful time. Or maybe someone has strayed away from what's right, or for another reason needs the prayers of the church, and now would be a wonderful time. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
Hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730. If you would like to contact the speaker, he can be reached at collie@westhuntsville.org. That's C-O-L-L-E-Y @westhuntsville.org.